Hello, Nightmare Society. It's a cold and rainy day here in Georgia. A nice day to be cooped up at home. That is, as long as someone else is not trying to get in. To my listeners in Louisiana, I hope you all are safe from the tornado. We are thinking of you. Shout out to Ashley Moore. Thanks for the Instagram mention, Ashley. Hello back to Lisa Harrington and Peter at Be More Comics and to your Trouble. A big thanks to Michigan 3131. We actually just moved from Michigan down to Georgia. So hello, old neighbor. And thanks for the kind Apple Podcast review. Thanks to the contributors for tonight's episode. User Acidic Fuketard. Sorry, I am blatantly mispronouncing that for censorship's sake. And Makina 90. Now, on to the show. So get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This story actually happened back when I was 18 years old and living on my own. I came from a small town of around 1,000 people and moved to a city about 2 hours away for college. I wasn't naive due to my upbringing, but still very new to the whole "my neighbors are on the other side of the wall, not 2 miles away" thing. I'm around 5'3", bigger girl, but at the time of this story I was more in shape and on the curvier side of being chubby, so I caught some unwanted attention. This is important. My apartment was on the bad side of town. The road it was next to had some motels notorious for housing dealers, streetwalkers, addicts, etc., and a gas station that had to close at 9 p.m. because it got robbed so much. My building was set up so that every time someone walked by it on the road, you can see into the first two apartment windows if the blinds were open. I lived in apartment number 2. Even though I lived on my own, my cousin was in the military at the time and would have to come into the city one weekend out of the month for drills and such. Him and his buddies decided that staying at my place during those weekends was cheaper than a hotel, and it was pretty laid back, so it became a normal thing for me to have 4 or 5 army dudes crashing on my living room floor. These guys staying with me is the thing that saved my butt one night. One night, all the guys had gone out to party at a buddy's house except for my cousin. They left their cars at my complex and my cousin was just going to pick them all up in the morning. Him and I stayed up and talked pretty late into the night, and I headed upstairs for bed around 1 a.m. About an hour later, there was a knock at my front door. I thought maybe my cousin had locked himself out or something after he went to go get a tobacco fix. So I came downstairs, just to see him upright sitting on the couch staring at my front door. My front door is at the foot of my stairs, so I about jumped out of my skin when another round of knocks landed on the door. Louder this time. My cousin got up from the couch and we just stood in the darkness, listening. Nothing happened for a minute and I started to think it was just one of my neighbor's friends who had a few too many and mixed up our apartment numbers. When another small knock came, followed by,
"Hey, my car broke down up the road. I was wondering if I can get some help."
It was a male's voice. He didn't sound creepy, but there was something about the situation that felt off. Neither me or my cousin moved from where we were standing in the living room. He whispered to not say anything, and I just nodded.
Come on, I just need a ride to my friend's house. It's not that far away. Hello?
At this point, my cousin had grabbed a baseball bat out of one of another guy's duffel bag. Something the guy kept on him since it was cheaper than a gun, according to him. He walked over to the window and was about to peek out of the blinds. I didn't have a peephole. When the guy outside knocked really hard.
Hey!
He slams on the door. I'm talking to you, girl. My blood went cold. How in the world did he know a girl lived there? He tried the doorknob. It was locked, obviously. Then he began slamming into the door again.
I just need some help with my car. Be a good girl and come help me out here.
My cousin stepped forward quickly to open the door, super mad at this point, and I stopped him. The guy slammed on the door one more time before I heard a scrapping, weird noise. I quickly realized it was the sound of him sliding down the door to sit in front of it. My cousin peeked out the blinds and just watches the guy sit there, head down in the darkness, not doing anything. I didn't want to go upstairs to get my phone because sometimes my stairs squeak really loudly, and I didn't want the guy to hear movement inside. My cousin's cell phone was dead, so calling the cops was out of the question until it charged enough to turn on. About 10 minutes later, the dude was stood up and knocked again. This time, my cousin threw open the door quickly and yelled,
"It's 2 a.m. What do you want?"
The guy froze. My cousin isn't a tall guy or anything, but for someone expecting a young woman, seeing an angry, muscular, shirtless dude in army pants holding a baseball bat probably was intimidating. They stared at each other for a second. I was out of eyesight from the door and could only see my cousin, not the man, saying nothing. My cousin broke the silence.
Well, what?
The dude answered in a quiet voice, muttering something about having the wrong apartment and that he was sorry to disturb him before turning away quickly and walking out of the complex's driveway, up the road, and out of sight. I'm glad my cousin stayed at my place instead of going out that night. I have no other explanation for how the guy knew a female lived there, besides that he had seen me walk in or out of my place before, and had this planned. We didn't call the cops because it was too dark to see the guy's face under the hat he was wearing, and couldn't really give a good description. I never got a knock at my door again for the next year or so I lived there. So, dude that knocked on my door at 2 a.m. Glad you met my cousin and not me. For the record, I'm a 28-year-old male, and this happened just last year in a major southern U.S. city. Given the nature of what happened, I'm not fully comfortable sharing the precise city and locations. My best friend Lauren and I took advantage of an extended weekend to visit several of our close friends who all moved to said city. For clarity, their names are Jacob, Jessica, Bailey, and Tim. Conveniently, they all live in the same house, which is important. We had no shortage of fun and eventful moments Thursday and Friday, but Saturday night is where it all kicks off. We went to this arcade bar that had damn near every arcade game in history, plus all the new fighting games converted to arcade style. Jacob and I have a pretty mean geek streak, so this was pure bliss for us. Getting to dominate in Tekken, Injustice, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, more Tekken, etc. Lauren was also having a blast with us, but Bailey and Jessica were struggling to find enjoyment, bless their hearts. Tim had to work a sudden night shift, so he was not with us. Eventually, they decided to grab an Uber to their favorite country/line dancing bar. I had been before, and country is just not my thing. So I stuck to the bar arcade. Eventually, Lauren decided to take an Uber to the country bar, as she'd never been and was curious. Planning to fully regroup at the country bar when the bar/arcade closed, we set up a group text and told Jessica and Bailey that Lauren was coming and to meet her at the front, since it's a massive place. And off she went. I don't remember how much time had passed, but I received a text from Lauren telling me she couldn't find Bailey anywhere, and that Jessica had already gone home. Jacob and I decided to drive over there, pick up Lauren, and head home. We figured Bailey was with the guy she was interested in at the time, hence her radio silence. After the 20-ish minute drive to the bar, I called Lauren, told her we were out front, only for her to respond with,
"It's okay, I'm gonna stay a while longer."
"Are you sure you want to stay?"
I asked.
"Yes,"
she said plainly. With no other option, I asked that she let us know when she heads back and to be safe. Jacob and I drove back to the house. Before I go any further, I need to describe the layout of this house. It's a traditional two-bedroom house, with the office room having been converted for an extra bedroom. This house also had no curtains or blinds on any of the windows. And there are two massive windows in the living room, looking out into the main road, and door windows in the former office room. In the backyard, there's a garage that has its own mini house attached to it. This is where Jacob lives, and I slept there for the weekend. Once we got home, we had one or two more drinks, and at around 2:30 a.m., I got a text from Lauren saying she was on her way back. With that, I went to the futon and passed out. I was jolted awake to the sound of the door being burst open and somebody shouting at us. It was Bailey. She was shouting at us, frantically demanding to know where Lauren was. My watch read 4:30 a.m., and I felt really uneasy in my stomach. It took Jacob and me 15 minutes to get home. So where the heck was she? She hadn't answered or returned any of Bailey's calls. Jacob was so drunk that he couldn't stay awake. So it was on Bailey and me to try and find her. I called Lauren and she luckily picked up. Having known her for 10 years, I could tell she was both highly intoxicated and scared, trying not to show it as best she could. This, in turn, scared me even more, asking obviously where the heck was she and if she was okay. She aggravatingly responds that she is okay, and in an Uber headed to the house. ETA, 15 minutes. I couldn't get any more information from her. She said she needed to hang up so she could use her GPS to get home. And hung up. Why would she need to use GPS if she has an Uber? 15 minutes on the dot and no sign of Lauren arriving. I was ready to turn this whole town upside down, but called her one more time. She picks up, sounding just as agitated, but this time I hear more than one voice on the other line before they all hush. As I started asking her all the details of the Uber car, driver, and passengers, she tells me it's a red Toyota sedan, and she's 3 minutes out, hanging up once again abruptly. Not taking any chances, I quickly put on a shirt and pants, grabbed my two knives, ready for a potential mess with whomever these guys might be, and waited on the front porch. And Bailey ready to call 911 in the event that things went south. Roughly 3 minutes later, a vehicle slowed down towards our driveway, a white pickup truck. The passenger door opens and out walks Lauren, exiting with haste, and not bothering to close the door or look back. She didn't say a word to the driver. I could quickly see three other dudes in the truck, but could not get any specifics before one of them closed the door. As we both rushed to Lauren's side to help her in, she was dead silent, and slightly stumbling hastily to the house. After what she told us, I have plenty of reason to believe that these guys were traffickers. She was all alone and lost in the bar when a guy came up and asked her to dance. When she agreed, another guy came and grabbed her phone and wallet, with the excuse that it will make her dancing easier. How easy it would be to check her ID and see she's not from the state, and appeared to be on her own. Plus, they could use that as a means to keep her from leaving. They took her to a separate room where a bunch of guys had her drink a crap ton of booze. She'd be too intoxicated to drive and wouldn't look drugged, making it easy to slip her past security under the guise of, "She's too drunk to drive, so we'll take her back." They said they knew the address to which she wanted to go, but knew a shortcut. Lauren is too smart to fall for that, which is why she pulled up her GPS. Once I called, they must have realized that people were already looking for her. After she told us all of this in the living room, we noticed that the truck had not moved, only turned its headlights off. Once I turned the lights off, they finally left. No couch for tonight. She was definitely sharing a bed with someone that night. We made sure that every single door and window was locked, and to call us and or 911 if anything went bump in the night. I went back to the garage house only to learn that the front door does not properly lock. Great. The only brilliant idea I had was to place a bunch of empty beer cans from the weekend against the door, so we could hear if the door even slightly opened. By this point, it was about 5 in the morning. Still no sun. Knife went under my pillow. And back to sleep I went. I was pretty confident the ordeal had passed, but I was disturbed at the thought that these likely are dangerous people, and now they know where my friends live. Not even an hour later, I woke again to a sound by the door. Sure enough, it was the sound of beer cans sliding along the tile floor, followed by the door quickly but quietly being shut. Knife in hand and ready to piss a river, I was confronted with two immediate choices. Check the window if anyone was outside fleeing, or check the interior for any intruders. I chose the latter, stupidly forgetting to call my friends or 911. I was tired and scared. Jacob still hadn't budged from his bed, and I couldn't find the strength to open my mouth. I just kept checking every room and corner, underneath Jacob's bed, and the garage. If the situation weren't already terrifying, the garage at night would be a phenomenal prop for a horror movie. After concluding that Jacob and I were the only ones in the house, I checked the beer cans on the floor. It was not my imagination or a dream. The beer cans had been pushed by the door. Someone had just tried to get in. I looked out the window for the first time and found nothing out of the ordinary, but I gave whomever came snooping plenty of time to run or hide as I checked inside. Thinking only for the safety of my friends inside the house, I made yet another stupid decision to step outside and check the perimeter. It was still incredibly dark out, The only light available was by a dim backyard light they perpetually kept on, and my flashlight. Nobody was in the backyard, so I checked the windows and doors for any signs of disturbance that I could tell. I could see directly into the office bedroom, which made me feel sick at the thought of someone with ill intentions peering in to see who was sleeping in that room. Fortunately, my search was anticlimactic, as I didn't find any sign of anyone sticking around, unless they were well hidden. Regardless, I hauled my butt back into the garage house, relieved myself, rearranged the beer cans in case someone were to try again, and stayed awake and alert until the adrenaline dump sent me to sleep. My watch read 11:30-ish when I woke up, and as far as I know, nothing further happened. I updated a rather hungover Jacob about what went down less than 12 hours ago, to which he simply responded,
"Shit."
I found it rather funny, given how high-strung I was in handling the situation. I didn't want to, but I asked everyone if they tried to get into the garage house after Lauren was back home. And of course, nobody said they did. I only told Jacob about my personal ordeal, in hopes that he would get that lock fixed. I didn't want to freak anyone else out more than they already were. 2 months later, when Lauren and I came back to see them, I told them everything. But I was most pleased to see that Jacob's lock had been fixed, and there are now blinds on nearly every window. Lesson learned. That last story reminds me of many instances I've experienced when I lived in Orlando, Florida. I have a lot of women as best friends, and there's been a lot of similar experiences, unfortunately, as well as a few times trying to help wandering strangers in parking garages at 2 in the morning. I have a pretty strange story about that, but it is not scary. It's actually quite funny. So, for another time. The point being, enjoy yourself, but please stay safe and watch after your friends. In the new year, I plan on launching a Patreon for those of you who are looking to further support the podcast and are looking for some extras. I'll also be launching some merch, which I'm pretty excited about. If you like the idea of supporting the podcast through Patreon, I would love to know what kind of perks you would be interested in. I'll probably be doing some polls and such on my Instagram, so you can follow me there at Nightmare Society Radio. If you're mostly on Twitter, you can also follow me there at Society_Radio. I'm always looking for more story contributions. I'd love to hear yours. You can email those to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. That's all for today. Thank you for listening. And until next time.
Sweet dreams, sweet dreams, sweet dreams.